It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? You hear these words each and every time we come together. It's so important that you take those words seriously, that you come to know Jesus, and that you come to walk after the Lord Jesus. We're studying the book of Philippians. I ask that you join me, if you can open your Bibles today, to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read the first four verses once again, and the same verses we read last time. Please that you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I hope that you have a few minutes today to spend with us as we study the precious Word. It's so exciting that we can take time to look into the Word of God and to search it and to know more and more about Jesus. Now, I hope that you've had time to open your Bibles and read along with me now. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin today. Father, I thank you that we can come and enjoy your power and your presence. I praise and thank you for your saving power. I thank you for saving me and for taking my sin and taking it away and forgiving me of those sins and setting me free from them, Lord, that I may walk in with you and enjoy your power and your presence each and every day. I ask, Father, that you will go into the heart and that you will be invited into the heart of every listener, every person that's listening today, that they'll recognize that they're a sinner and recognize that they're lost. Oh, Father, they have to be lost before they need to be saved, and we have a generation today that do not believe that they need to be saved, that there's anything wrong with their life or their lifestyle. So please, Lord, I ask that you convict their hearts, show them their sin, their failures, and please that they turn to you for the answer, because, Lord Jesus, you are the only answer. You're the true God, the Savior of the world. So please that each and every person that's listening today will come and trust in you as their Savior and ask you to come into their heart and to save them, and their sins will be forgiven and taken away. Please, Lord, that they do that today. And then, Father, as we enjoy and study the precious Word, and there's many things of the Word of God that we're instructed to do, and, Father, as we search that precious Word, we find first is salvation. First come to you and be saved. Next, Father's baptism, and to be scripturally baptized, Lord, to go down into the water and come up out of the water, picturing the death of the old self and the old flesh and the resurrection, the life we have in Jesus. And, Father, after those are taken care of, then we begin that precious, sweet walk. And, Father, you know that the instruction you give us to study your Word, to stay in your Word, and it's so wonderful. Father, I just ask that you'll guide and lead each and every one of us so we draw closer to you every time, every minute. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love praying for you folks. I love praying for the radio program. I love praying for the folks at home or here at church and folks that, as you are in your homes. And some of you I know about, and some of you I do lift up in prayer. If you have been a long listener or you're just listening in for the first time to the radio program and you enjoy the study of the Word, I ask that you would drop me a line so that I can be praying for you and anything that I can especially pray for you about. But if you don't know Jesus and you're questioning anything there, I ask that you'll let me know so I can pray for you, I can visit with you, I can come and see you so that we can bring you to through the Word of God and show you exactly what the Word of God tells us about our Savior Jesus, that you too would be convicted and saved and then begin that walk. If you've been saved through the study, be saved in your home, saved in your church, saved any place. I've shared with you many times and will continue to do so. The place where I was saved was halfway between the Pharaoh house and the house at home, out on the farm. And so if I can be saved there, you can be saved anywhere. Well, that's very, very true. The same God will save you, the only God, true God, the Lord Jesus. please that you come to Jesus today and be saved, walk after him, and let me know so I can pray for you and lift you up. Because, my friend, when you come to know the Lord Jesus, you will have all the power and strength to have the greatest victory you've ever seen. But at the same time, that old devil is not about to give up on you, even though you're saved and are kept and sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternity. Even though that's done, the old devil still wants to ruin and destroy your testimony. So he's going to do everything. And so I, too, will do everything I can do to help you to grow and to stay in the Word and to find the power and the presence of the Lord through the walk. You're saved. You're enjoying the walk through this life. You're going to heaven. And the only way that you can have those steps and do those steps is by his witness, his Word. So please that you listen very carefully as we study and we go through these words of Scripture. Paul, one reason I wanted to take a few minutes to go through those things, Paul is a prayer warrior. Paul prayed for these folks in Philippi, in the church of Philippi. Paul's in prison in Rome, but he's continually praying for these people in Philippi. They're very special friends to him. They are special brothers and sisters in Christ to him. He was responsible for starting the church in Philippi, and he has always enjoyed and loved any place he started a church, any place that he had the opportunity to share the gospel and someone was saved. He loved those people, special, very special relationship, and I know that to be true. Folks that I've had the opportunity to lead to the Lord Jesus, it just excites your heart so much to watch them continue to grow and try to do everything you can do. And that's what I said earlier today, that if you have come to know the Lord Jesus, let me know so I can pray for you and so I can help you in any way, because there is definitely a battle going on, and you need to understand that there will be a continual battle from the time you're saved till the time that you go out of this body and slip off into eternity, into the presence of the Lord Jesus. There's going to be an ongoing battle from that time till then, from now till then, and we need to seek His Word, seek His will, and I promise you that He will give you all the power, the strength, the comfort, and the joy that is necessary to go through this life. He talks to these people here again, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and my crown. All this is rewards and things that Paul is acknowledging here. He says, because you folks have come to Christ, because I have brought the gospel to you and shared the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and you trusted in that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus, He has come into your heart, He has come into your life, and you know Him personally, and you're walking with Him. He is your friend. He is your Savior. And you know that you can always depend on Him, and He will always lead you the right direction, and to have such a friend as Jesus. And as we look, and Paul recognizes that because these people He has led to the Lord Jesus, and it not only brings joy to Him, but it also means crowns, the crown in heaven because of that. And as we have here, my joy and my crown, and it's a soul-winning crown. Now, it seems as though that today in our local churches that there probably is not a lot of soul-winning crowns that's going to be handed out, because we kind of keep our mouth shut. We do not share with folks the gospel and tell them how to be saved. Roles have kind of turned over. They've kind of changed. Originally, God wants the church. The church is all believers. It's folks that have come by faith in the Lord Jesus and been saved. That is the church. But what we've, in the past many, many years, what has happened is instead of church members of the church going outside and sharing with their family members and with their friends and with their relatives, their neighbors, folks they come in contact with at work, at the grocery store, wherever, as they meet these people, there's a burning and a yearning in their heart to tell them about the Savior that they know. And so they take time, they get an opportunity to sit down and tell that person how much Jesus loved them, that He died on the cross of Calvary, that they could be saved. And so when they've been saved, then they ask, would you please come to Jesus? When the invitation comes, and that invitation can be a one-on-one, and say, would you like to come to Jesus today and be saved? And I hope that your answer would be yes. yes, I want to be saved today, then that person that led you to Jesus, and the power and the convicting power and presence of God has convicted your heart and saved you by your turning to Him, repenting of your sin, turning unto the Lord Jesus, then that person says, come to church with me because I want you to come and I want you to grow. And we have a pastor that is a shepherd of the church that teaches the Word of God that helps us to grow in the Lord Jesus so we can know more and more about Jesus. But instead of that, today the church people and the church members go outside the doors of the church, and if they do anything, they just compel people to come to church. And then, so what you have is saved and lost both inside the building of the church. Part of them are the church, part of them are not the church, because you can't be of the church unless you're saved. Well, they're sitting out here, and then it's a preacher's responsibility to tell that person that they're lost and tell them they need to be saved. And what you get then is the lost and the saved mixed. And it's taken much of the power of the church away. My friend, we need to get to work. Paul here went out, won them, and then brought them to the church. They are part of the church then. These folks are mean all the world to Paul. Have you ever led somebody to Jesus? I guess, first of all, I need to ask the question, do you know the Lord Jesus? You know, we've spent half of the time today talking about this. Do you know Jesus? Okay, you do know Jesus. You've come to the Lord Jesus. You've been saved. Who have you led to the Lord Jesus? Who have you led to Jesus? How can you call yourself a Christian if you've never brought somebody else to Jesus? How can you say that it's the most important thing in your life? Jesus is the most important person in my life. But you've told very few, if any. And you've brought very few, if any, unto Jesus. Paul won people to the Lord Jesus because of Paul's testimony. Paul loved these people. I hope today that maybe you've awakened to the fact that if you are a believer, you need to be out soul winning. You need to be out talking to those people, and it's just the first thing in your heart and in your mind to tell people about Jesus. Don't let it up to the preacher to do that job. That's your job. Preacher's job is to shepherd the church, to feed the flock. So I ask that you get busy. Wherever you go to church, you get busy telling people about Jesus. And then put your arm around them and bring them into the church. And you stay close by them to help them to grow and to know the Lord Jesus and to the fellowship. And it's not going to be long then they're going to be going out and bringing others in. That's how a church grows. Or, my friend, that's how a church dies if no one does that. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Now, we're going to go back to Ephesians very quickly here and read a few verses of Scripture. Ephesians is just the book right before Philippians, and so it doesn't take you long to turn back just a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I sure want you to turn back there with me. And we're going to look a little bit about this steadfast. We spent some time last week. We're going to do it again today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember back in Ephesians, in Philippians chapter 4, he says, so stand fast in the Lord. Now, thinking of that, keeping that in mind, let's continue here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For me, that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, we need to understand that we are Christ's ambassador, and we are to take out. We are to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are, as Paul's desire is, to speak boldly. But there is a battle going on, and we are to stand. And Paul's praying for the church of Philippi to stand fast in the Lord. It's been so long since I've seen you, but I know and I hear. Epaphroditus brought me news, and I know that you're growing, and that you're in the Word of God, and I ask that you stand fast and continue to search the Word of God. Put on this whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil, my dearly beloved. He loved these folks. And then he goes and he kind of picks out two people here. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Seems as though there's a squabble going on. I'm not sure they were speaking as these ladies were fussing just a little bit. Have you ever had a fuss in your church? You ever had a fuss in your family? As they fuss a little bit, you know, why then you come to two points where that you just stop speaking to each other. Well, you sure can't fellowship, and you sure are not of the same mind when you're not talking. And so if you've got a fuss going on in your family, or you've got a fuss going on in your church, I ask that you go unto the Lord Jesus, and you ask Him to correct that fuss and correct those problems, and you do it by your humble heart and your forgiving heart. Go unto that person and ask that person to forgive you, that they will come and come back together. Now, I don't know what they were fighting about. It could have been something very seriously, doctrinally serious, or it could have been something so light. You know, we just said the other night at Bible study here that most churches split through a building program. Very few churches survive through a building program. That's a terrible statement, and the reason that it happens is because everybody gets their eyes away from the Lord Jesus, the very purpose that they're building the building to bring more folks in, and they get their eyes on that building, and they begin to worship that building more than they do the Lord Jesus and the things in that building, and it becomes more and more important what color the carpet is, what color the pews are going to be, and what wood it's going to be, and what paint they're going to use, and all those things. And it becomes so serious to everybody that they forget why they're there, and that they're there to glorify and praise the name of Jesus. I don't know what these two were fighting about, but isn't it something how they are recorded in the Scriptures through all eternity for us to see? Wouldn't you rather be written down in the Word of God as a soul winner, as one that took a lost and dying soul and went over and shared the gospel with them, told them that Jesus saves, and told them how much that Jesus loves them, tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please that you share with that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead shall be saved. Can you share those words with somebody? And if you'd share those words with somebody, bring them unto the Lord Jesus. Take your time doing that. Don't take your time arguing. Know the Word of God. Stand upon the Word of God and have unity with each other through and by the Spirit of God, which is in total agreement with the Word of God. Now, you know my feelings about folks that do not believe the Word of God, and yet we're supposed to have unity with them. That's a trick of the devil, and the devil is a liar. And so anyone that wants you to join them when they're contrary to the Word of God, don't do it. God tells us to flee from them, to stay away from them, and to stay in the Word of God and have fellowship and unity with those that are in agreement with the Word of God. With your word, Lord, we should say, always, your will be done. Now, I don't know what happened here, but isn't it too bad that Paul couldn't list, says, I just got news that Herodias and Syntyche have been out bringing people to Jesus. They are of one heart and one mind. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the way they were recorded here in the Word? But instead of that, Paul says, I'm asking you two to be of one mind. Will you please straighten up? Will you get your eyes back on Jesus and off and away from yourselves and the things that are around you? Get your eyes on Jesus. Wouldn't it have been so much nicer to have recorded in the Word of God? But God recorded this so that we too know that when we have a little fuss and a little feud, that we need to get over it. And we get over it by turning to the Lord Jesus, being of the mind of Christ. That is not a compromising mind. The mind of Christ has one direction and one set, and we need to look unto the Lord Jesus for that. It is not a compromise. If I'm wrong, I'll turn unto the Lord Jesus to be in agreement with you. But if I'm right, in accordance with the Word of God, I'm not going to compromise to get along with you. It continues in verse 3, Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clements also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We all not only have different crowns, the crown of righteousness and the soul-winning crown, but we also have a book of life. And I've read to you many times back in Revelation concerning the books and the book. And when your name is written in the book of life, that means you have come with a repentant heart and your name's been written down. Will you please come with a repentant heart whose names are written down? These are all folks that Paul has got to know and come to know because, again, he has reached most of them for the Lord Jesus and led them to the Lord Jesus. Paul's life and Paul's joy comes from these people, as well as many others that he had brought to the Lord Jesus and had the opportunity to share the gospel and lead them to Jesus. Now, do you see why I want you to be a soul winner? Well, I want you to bring people to Jesus. Well, I want you to be saved yourself, first of all, so that you can have the joy. Because verse 4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, that sweet and precious book of life. You know, a lot of people don't look to the Word of God and don't look from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. I love the Word of God. You know and you hear me say many times the different Bible studies that we have. And we study and search the Word of God, all areas of the Word of God. And it's all one. It's all in agreement. Many people believe that there's just areas of the Scripture that is the inspired Word of God. That's a lie. It's from cover to cover, and I believe it all. Many people believe that there are mistakes or there are things that are in conflict through the Word of God. There is none. I love the Word of God. It's the inspired and errant Word, and I love it, and I love studying it, and I love searching it because it is the truth. It's the only thing that's true and truthful in this whole world. And I can bring it to you, and you can come to know Jesus. Please do it today. Don't stay away. Don't stay away one day longer. I want to take you back all the way back to Exodus. Exodus 32. And as we look here at this verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, it will tell us whose names are written in the book of life. Well, let me show you a man that desired so much that the children of Israel would straighten up. That if he could, he was willing to bargain his life for theirs. And if God would not forgive them again, as he had so many times before, Moses pleads with the Lord and says, if you will not forgive them, then take my name out of the book of life. Now look at this. In Exodus chapter 32, we're going to read verse 32. And I'll just read up one verse ahead of that. Exodus 32, verse 31. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You see, Moses' desire, Moses loved those people. Oh, if we had a desire for the lost around us. Paul had that same desire and that same hope. Moses said, if it be so. And again in verse 33, and the Lord said to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore go now and lead the people into the place to which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sins unto them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. My friend, there's a price to be paid when you play with sin. Moses desired that these people would be forgiven, a great sin. Verse 30 of Exodus 32, 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, and preadventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Moses desired with all of his heart. But you see, a person that lives in sin and practices sin will not have their name recorded in the book of life. I hope your name is recorded in the book of life. If it is, then you'll turn away from your sin. You will not continue in it. And that's the worst testimony that we have today of the church, is that a person confesses to know Christ, but their life never changes. My friend, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, your life will change. You cannot stay the same. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Paul had friendship here, had fellowship here, whose names are written in the book of life. Those true yoke fellows. There's many women that worked very hard within the church in furthering the gospel. Please that you tell people about Jesus. Walk after the Lord. With Clements also. And other of my fellow laborers, there's so many of you, Paul's saying, that I love, and you've worked so hard, and my friend, we're all together because our names are all written down in the book of life. How do you get your name written in the book of life? By confessing your sin and coming to Jesus. Whosoever, the Word of God tells us. And Paul finishes that up with verse 4, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We got several verses that we'll begin with next time that we meet. But as we look at that, if you know Jesus, and if you set your path and your walk and your way the way of Christ. Don't try to play both sides. Come to Jesus, but then just keep playing with the world. Your joy is going to be snatched from you. But if you'll set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, because without joy there'll never be power. Because joy comes when you follow after Jesus. When you walk with Christ every day, there'll be a great joy in your heart no matter what happens. No matter what faces you, what trial, what tribulation, what disaster, it's not going to matter because you're going to have the presence of Jesus and there's going to be joy down in your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We'll begin there next time. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?